The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
Respected brothers and sisters, we've gathered here for the commemoration of the Shahada of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. May Allah reward you all. And now today we get a chance to, inshallah, look at the topic that we've chosen, which is leading a lifestyle of Imam Hussein, or leading a Husseini life. So tonight, inshallah, I want to talk about lifestyle and the importance of lifestyle. Now, in order to discuss this topic, I wanted to start out with a couple of examples from the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. You all know that these companions were very special individuals, and you also know that they came from a variety of different backgrounds. Some of them were very young, some of them were very old, some of them were lifelong followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Others came from different backgrounds. You had people who were gathered together from many different backgrounds, different cities, but all of them were bound by one thing, which is that they were committed to the path of Imam Hussein alayhi as-salam. So let's look at the example of one of the stories. It's a well-known story, but there's so much that we can take from it. It's a story of Zuhair ibn Qain. Zuhair, as you know, was a great warrior. He was chosen to be in charge of the right-hand side of Imam Hussein's army. And he was one of those, if you look at the history of the events that took place in Karbala itself, you can see that he was very prominent. You know, his presence, his words, where he went, what he did, it was noticed by not only those in the camp of Imam Hussein, but the enemies as well. But what is Zuhair's background? He came from a background of trying to escape from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He was actually trying, he knew that Imam Hussein was taking the same path as he was. Imam Hussein had left the Hajj rituals and he was going towards Kufa. And Zuhair knew that he was just a little bit ahead of Imam Hussein. And if he wasn't careful, then Imam Hussein would end up staying in the same place as him. And he didn't want this to happen. He did not want to meet Imam Hussein. He did not want to be invited to participate in these events. But it just so happened that they end up staying in the same place, the same sort of resting area for, you know, the different caravans. And then the incident is very interesting. The messenger Imam Hussein alayhi salam comes to Zuhair ibn Qain, comes to his tent, and says that the son of the messenger of Allah, the grandson, is asking you to come and have a word with him. Now at this point, Zuhair ibn Qain is sort of like frozen. He doesn't know how to respond. What is it that enables him to like sort of get past this point? He's stuck, right? It's his wife. His wife comes and says, what happened? You know, and then she says to him, she says that, subhanAllah, the grandson of Allah's messenger is asking you to come and talk to him and you're not going? Why don't you at least go and see what he has to say? And then Zuhair ibn Qain goes, and you know how when somebody goes with an open heart to the imam, then the imam is the as-sabab al-muttasilu bayna al-ardi was-sama, the connection between the earth and the skies. He is the hujjah of Allah. And Zuhair comes back as a transformed person. He's smiling, he's happy, he found his purpose in life. And then immediately he says, okay, I'm done, I'm going. Whoever wants to come with me, they can come with me, because he has other traveling companions. But basically he's ready on the moment to leave everything aside, to leave his family, to leave his possessions, and then he's going to be joining Imam Hussein alayhis. Now, a couple of things. One of them, that maybe sometimes if we don't dig deeper, we might not see these points. One of them is, what kind of relationship does Zuhayr ibn Qayn have with his wife, such that she would be the source of his being able to see the truth at that point when he's challenged? You can tell that there was a good type of relationship. You can tell that they might have already been on this path of helping one another to do the right thing, of discussing different issues that came up in life and then going through those challenges, you know, and trying to see what is our responsibility to Allah. It's something which is really inspiring. These types of things are part of a lifestyle that somebody is going to choose. You see that Zuhayr ibn Qayn was ready on the moment to just walk away from all of his possessions. Unlike, you know, the likes of Umar ibn Sa'ad and Ubaydullah ibn Hur al-Ju'afi and others who were dragged down by the heavy connections that they had to their positions and their status in this world. You know, Umar ibn Sa'ad, it was the Mulkurayyan, you know, the kingdom of the province of Ray that just kept him, you know, weighted down. He couldn't move and he couldn't do the right thing. Here, you know, we have an hadith that Umar ibn Sa'ad is hearing divine inspiration tell him, you know, that you need to go. And he refuses to do that because of his connections, the promise they had been given to become the governor of that province. That's one example. Now, we have the example according to some of the Maqatil, which describe the events that took place in Karbala. We have the example of Wahab ibn Wahab, or Wahab ibn Hubab, or his name is reported in different ways. One of the Maqtals that mentions his name is Al-Amali of Shaykh Tusi, and he quotes the hadith from Imam Ali ibn Hussein as-Sajjad alayhi salam. He's narrating the events. And also in Al-Luhuf by Sayyid ibn Tawus, it's also mentioned about Wahab ibn Wahab. Wahab ibn Wahab, according to these sources, was from a Christian background. He and his mother, and some reports say his wife, had all become guided to the path of truth because of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So here you have somebody who obviously had grown up in a different surrounding and different environment than many of the other people who were present in Karbala. But all of them end up in the same place. All of them, when we say salam to the shuhada of Karbala, when we go for their ziyarah, imagine all the millions and millions of people throughout the centuries who go and send salam to them. All of them are part of that salam. In one of the maqtals, it says that Wahab on the day of Ashura was fighting, and after fighting bravely, he goes to his mom and says that, okay, mom, are you happy with me at this point? And his mom says that, I won't be happy until you go and you give your life for the son of the daughter of the Messenger of Allah. And that way you will get his shafa'ah on the Day of Judgment. Imagine that level of understanding that she had developed. I'm not sure. We don't know how long they had spent in Muslim culture. But my question is this, that what kind of lifestyle and upbringing did they have as a family to be able to have these types of values and to show this type of loyalty and this type of selflessness when they are called to do so?
Swear to Allah, whenever I face troubles in my life, I close my eyes and see your shrine and call the back every time. Oh, Hussein, you're the love of my heart. You are the light of my eyes. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein.